Hey, Dave here from DC On Screen. If you're following us on Facebook, you might have seen us posting artwork that has been sent to fans. This was sent to fans of DC On Screen as part of a promotion. How can you get your own artwork? Simply go over to iTunes or Stitcher and leave us good ratings or reviews. Or, you know, bad ones if you just gotta be a dick. And then email us at dconscreen@gmail.com. Tell us who you want us to draw, who you want to draw it, Dave or Jason, and leave us an address. If you like, you can send us pictures of yourself with the drawing after we send it, and we'll post it to our Facebook page where you can tag yourself. This promotion ends March 31st, by the way, so you have to get those reviews in. Jason, do you have anything else to add?
It's a little for a lot, Dave. It's a little for a lot.
It is a little for a lot. We try so hard.
We need your help. We're asking. Our humble offering.
Humble. Like pie. Anyway, man, settle back, listen to a brand new episode of DC On Screen starting right the hell now. Welcome in, guys, to DC On Screen, a podcast about the DC Universe properties being brought to film and television. I am your host, David C. Robertson. This is my co-host, Jason Goss.
Hey!
How you doing, man? How you doing this week?
I had energy, so I just expelled it all in the hay. Get ready for pretty much a downhill roll from here. Not even like a real stream, just a roll, a trickle. Cold molasses on a light incline.
Oh, man. Oh, hey, I mean, it's better than, I always sort of halfway suspect that I'll be like, and this is my co-host, Jason Goss, and I won't hear anything.
Yeah, I'll have wandered off to the other room on a whim. Oh, shit, I forgot I was doing a podcast. Fuck. Oh, God. Hey, Dave.
Well, no, I mean, like, you know, I don't know. You're about to get married, and that shit is terrifying to me. So, I mean, I'm, you know.
What, am I going to pull, like, a Goodwill Hunting on you? One day I'm going to get there, and you're not going to be there anymore.
Even when looking at marriage, you know, with the perfect woman, which is what I'm looking at. Hi, honey.
Hey, look what you did there. Which is not in any way opposed to what I'm doing. There you go.
Even with that, marriage seems terrifying. So I just somehow expect that one day I'll be like, Jason Goss. And you'll be like, you'll just be gone. Just,
right.
I don't know, hiding out in the Sundarbans in Bangladesh.
waiting
until the anger and disappointment blow over.
I'm not afraid of the marriage part. But if at some point I see a little plus sign on a little stick, God only knows. I can't account for my behavior at that point. I've never been faced with it. I don't know. But I could see unabashed terror as a possible response.
Right. Trade your man cave for a mangrove over in Bangladesh.
Right.
They'll never find you there. Who would think to look for anyone in Bangladesh?
I don't know. It depends on what kind of movie I'm in.
I chose that word because, I don't know. I like the word Sundarbans, and I like the word Bangladesh. That's where I'm dictated.
Explanation over. I like the words. What? My sentence don't tell me how to run it?
It was no rhyme or reason to my joke.
You ain't got to have it. You ain't got to have it.
I just like the words. Just so we have...
Moving right into the Batwieners segment of the show here.
Right. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I accidentally did that because we got this really incredibly cool shout out from a couple of guys. Specifically from a guy named Tim Allen, I believe, over at the podcast Suicide Squadcast. Great freaking name. I was actually immediately jealous of the name.
Yeah, no. yeah.
So Tim hit me
Touché,
up on Twitter.
Fellas.
Tim hit me up on Twitter and he was like, hey, you know, gave you guys a shout out in our newest episode. And I went and checked it out. And it was an incredibly nice shout out.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he talks about all the different flavors and like how he wants to like fuel the community, the DC podcast community. And he talks about how their show is a different flavor from our show and other shows. And I absolutely agree. You guys, you should go check out these guys, the Suicide Squadcast. Man, they actually do. They hit up some of the stuff that we don't really like talking about, but they made it interesting. Like, I don't know. Like, I will read like an article from like Ben Affleck or something and be like, yeah, whatever. These guys were talking about those and like actually talking like professional people.
No. A professional decorum would be, yeah, we could learn from that.
Yeah, also, they actually
know, for the most part, I don't know how to really talk about interviews and make it interesting at all, even for myself to talk about with you. Like, me and you don't talk about interviews in our private time, much less.
I know. We're like, I don't know. Did you hear what Ben Affleck said? He really likes playing Batman.
Yeah.
Because Batman's going to be dark this time. Really? Yeah. Okay.
we have trouble getting anything really all that useful out of him.
I mean, sometimes, I do actually have some. Those guys don't just cover that, by the way. We actually were covering some of the stuff they covered as well. We're covering 2 weeks of news this week because we didn't do one last week.
I know. I was sad. But it had
to happen. I was sad. Just, you know, life gets in the way, man. Life gets in the way.
It does.
So I'm just going to go ahead and jump in.
Run
the news. Like, knee deep, man, or something.
Whatever, appendage deep.
Well, there's a small amount of water, you know, just brushing up against my ball sack. I'll say that. Now, I won't tell you if my ball sack is down there by my knees or if it's or if I was just a little higher up.
The actual levels and heights are really left to the imagination, unfortunately.
I try my best to.
We may be at a point where actually being more explicit might have been kinder.
No, man, it's like that's the benefit of a PG-13. You show something off camera, like just have like a shadow, and you can really just run with it. All right, so as always, well, I guess for the last time, this is the last episode we're going to do before Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice comes out.
Oh, I'm so happy about that.
I am too, man. I'm
for
so
all
excited.
The right reasons, I think. You remember that little slump we went through where we were all nervous? It was a couple months ago after that middle trailer that was just a giant WTF. Then we got to these last couple weeks, though, man, have been an absolute thrill ride for me. Especially since, what was it, like 2 or 3 weeks ago, there was that one Entertainment Weekly article that just, I was on fire after that thing. That thing was, it had me tingling. I was so happy with that.
Yeah, man. I'm going to talk about a couple of things real quick, and maybe not that real quick. I don't know. Hell.
Yeah, for an amount of time.
First of all, you know, we were talking about the negativity buzz campaign, like how people were like trying to like openly bash Batman versus Superman.
Right.
And one of the things was like, oh, that guy, the Batman for Baz guy, the guy who was terminal cancer and wanted to see the movie, how like Zack Snyder and Warner Brothers ignored him. And all these articles came out and people were like bashing them and flipping out on Facebook and Twitter. The official Batman for Baz Twitter account came out and said he did get to see the film.
Oh, that's good. That's just good. That's like the heavy cream at the top of a gallon of milk, man. I'm just slapping that up. I love that shit.
Yeah, like Snyder
and the overreactive haters, that overreactive pajama papal haters, when they're just plain wrong and absolutely back the wrong horse and they get it like that. I love it so much.
Absolutely. And speaking of people like that, I've been seeing articles floating around, specifically one dude. I don't remember his name, and it's better if I don't know his name, because as far as I'm concerned, this dude is a limp bag of dicks.
Harsh judgment applied. Now, your premise.
Who has an article that's like, why we're really not excited to see Batman versus Superman? Well, okay, maybe you're not excited. He claims he's a comic book fan, but, you know, whatever. But I'm looking at this thing that's like, Batman versus Superman advanced ticket sales are outpacing Deadpool, Avengers, Furious 7. It's at $25 million, which last time that happened was like Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
Which should be about $150 to $170 million for opening weekend. Do you think that doesn't sound like are we not excited? Are people not excited for that?
Yeah. No one's interested in this film, guy. No one is.
Yeah, we're all bored.
Yeah, you know, there are cases like, I'm sure there are people that just absolutely, that people have a lot, a character that's been around that long has a lot of different ways to take him, and there are people who genuinely don't like Dark Batman and really do prefer like the pre Neil Adams stuff, or pre Denny O'Neill, that whole thing, like back in the 66. There are people like that, and that, you know, there's enough bad out there for every damn body.
Well, this guy, you know, and I've seen a number of people like him putting out articles. Mm-hmm. Maybe there is a campaign to like, but I'm starting to believe that the campaign is not to really bash Warner Brothers.
Uh-huh.
The campaign is to bash all superhero movies, because these are people who are like, they fancy themselves as, I don't know, avant-garde indie film critics or something, and uh-huh. they want to quote, change the national discussion about movies. Like, they want to get it closer to, like, I don't know, Wes Anderson or something, and further away from popcorn movies like superheroes that are dumbing us down.
Yeah.
I love a good Wes Anderson movie. I also love a Batman.
The only thing I want to reframe about the discussion we're having is, why aren't there more?
Especially,
like, for every three or four bad rom-coms that come out, just take all that budget and combine it into one, like, medium level,
right?
You know, grab an obscure set of people and go for it things.
Hey,
I'll take a New Gods film, for fuck's sake.
You know what? I am all about a good rom-com. Even I enjoyed Serendipity. Of course, I love John Cusack. What can I do? but why can't I have a Batman movie? What the hell? Like,
I don't know.
Yeah, and when they're being made as well as they're being made right now, like, I've actually got a little bit of hope that Warner Brothers is kind of seeing, like, oh, we could do this. You know, we can have the essence of the characters from the comics and kind of do it, like, as a big love letter to the fans of the comics, as opposed to just like, no, that looks stupid. We got to give them leather things.
I know.
I don't know.
And look, and there's a part of this discussion that there are two things I'd like to see. Like, one, and I'd love to see any kind of stats that might back me or refute me on this, but here's my bet. One, uh-huh. Warner Brothers doesn't make that many of your indie films anyway. It's not companies like Warner Brothers that do a ton of the indie films anyway. So you're right. Kind of barking at the wrong dog here. Two,
yeah, they do some. But yeah.
I mean, I know they do some, but I would say mm-hmm. it's not the majority of the art house Sundance kind of stuff is not being produced by Warner Brothers.
Probably not, no. Yeah.
Again, I'll take any data that refutes this. I'm going off. These are my bets.
I have no data, and
my
hypothesis. I'm looking into it.
Yeah. But one, I think Warner Brothers isn't the dog you need to be barking at.
Mm-hmm.
Go sniff some other tail guy. And two, you know, even if Warner Brothers is making them, they're not going to bet their bank on that. They need a bankroll. They need a payroll. Like, mm-hmm. they need to actually make money for a board of directors so that they can go in and invest in more. If you want more indie films, go throw money at the big films sometimes. Because
I mean,
that's where the money,
like,
comes out.
It's not like Batman versus Superman is going to win an Oscar. Mm-hmm. The best film is still going to be something like some bullshit like Water
like
for Elephants
Miss
or
Sunshine
something.
Or some
you know?
Shit.
Like, Slumdog Millionaire, whatever the hell. I don't know.
Right. It's,
I mean,
it's always going to
be something like
that kind of film. But those aren't the ones generally. I mean, I realize there's the in-betweeners, like American Sniper or something that's both, and I never saw it, but I hear it's both an
right.
outstanding, like a stellar work of filmmaking, and mm-hmm. made a shit ton of money. And those happen, but more often you're going to get a shit ton of money out of some people getting shot at, and some
yeah,
other people
I mean,
shooting
I,
back, and then you can use that money to go make a feeling about a bunch of people's feelings.
Mm-hmm. And I am absolutely...
Everybody's happy.
Absolutely an Eastwood fan. I'm at, God, he's a good filmmaker, man. He is.
Yeah.
I love movies, not just superhero movies, but I mean, dude, absolutely superheroes have a place, man. Absolutely. What is wrong with you?
Yeah,
maybe they're kind of bigger than they should be right now, but you know what? They're kind of killing it right now, so let it be. We didn't have superheroes for, like, ever. We just got to the point where we could have them now.
the graphics can finally keep up. People have finally figured out the kinks in the storytelling a little bit. Like, they've Oh, Deadpool was one of my favorite new, mm-hmm. it's like a new stake in the tent that's propping this
it
whole
is.
Thing up, going, no, you can do rated R.
It oh, is, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, we can, can't we? Because, I mean, it's been like, no, you can't have a film about a side character, and then it's like, no, you can't combine them all, and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and by the way, like, Deborah and Zack Snyder were talking about that, and they were like, about the reaction to them doing the R-rated version of Batman versus Superman.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, what do you think, we just edited this in the last week since Deadpool came out? No.
Oh, no. They had to shoot the footage. This was part of pre-production that there would be an opportunity to even have an R-rated version. Don't get me wrong. Like, if Deadpool had absolutely failed, maybe the studio execs go, why even bother throwing it on the DVD?
Yeah. I mean, basically,
there's a fair amount
of
that happens when it comes to actually making the DVD of any damn thing. It doesn't matter how good a film it is.
Right.
This thing can wipe up $150 billion worldwide, and they're still going to shrug and be like, well, I don't want to spend more than about $40,000 printing them.
Absolutely. You know what? Like, they even said, like, oh, they just... Snyder's saying it's not even, like, a hard R. He said there's no nudity. It's just violence. It's just a little bit of violence that tips the scale into R-rated territory. They just kind of kept cutting it down until it was PG-13. That's
they kept cutting off a half a second, until the censor board finally sent it back and go, okay, yes, you can keep it.
Well, yeah, I mean, there were two problems. One, like, they kind of had to keep cutting the little bit of the violence because until it was an R rating.
Oh, and they'll do stupid things like, too, where they're like, look, if you'll just cut it about 3 frames before this, we'll let you get it in. Mm-hmm. Same kind of.
The other part is, yeah, like, the R rated version on the DVD is only going to be a half hour longer. But that's a half hour, like, it's already going to be like 2.5 hours, and that really cuts down on how many times you can show a movie in the theater. If you if you have something that's 30 minutes longer, man, you might as well just go ahead and say, like, okay, we're it's just not going to be possible to make that as much money as we want to make.
Right.
Or we should make for the budget.
It's as simple as that. Like, if it's a 3-hour movie versus a 2.5-hour movie, by the end of the day in one single theater, it's like one single room in the theater, auditorium, I guess, in a theater, that's mm-hmm. one less showing by the end of the day.
It is.
Yeah, so, it's less money. It's a real thing.
As you say, everyone needs to cool their tits.
Everyone. I know it's getting warm out there, some places.
Yeah, some places.
No calls for uncooled tits.
So, a marketing survey, is that considered too spoilery for you?
Oh, I know which one you're talking about.
Have you seen this?
Yeah, I already ran across that one.
Okay, so apparently...
I would say take caution if you don't want to know, but...
Take caution, skip ahead 30 seconds.
It's like our normal rule is like if it's the producers and this is a sidearm version of it. This comes at a different sideways angle.
Yeah.
Hit skip a couple times if you don't want to know.
Yeah. So marketing survey confirms that Jenna Malone is Barbara Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
If you note that, you know, I know Zack Snyder says she's not going to be Robin or Batgirl. Well, he said Batgirl.
He said Batgirl.
So, you know, Zack Snyder's a liar.
Well, not necessarily.
Kind of. Barbara Gordon will always be Batgirl to me, man.
I know. Always. And that's where should be. But she could still pop up as Oracle, and you're fine. So,
did you see this Batman versus Superman international trailer? It's basically like a Korean trailer, but it's kind of awesome.
I never did sit down and watch that thing.
There's not a whole lot more. It totally looks... They kind of just threw away all the crap with, like, Lex talking to Clark and almost said Ben and Bruce. It was just nothing but action, pretty much. And like,
they just look at him, get the weird redhead kid out of this thing and show me the Titans. Okay,
yeah, it was just like a bunch of action and like explosions and a mushroom cloud and what looks like Batman yelling no and them and just a dude yelling at you in Korean. I heard it was Korean. They said it was Korean.
I don't know. I know it was one of the languages with characters that I cannot distinguish properly.
Right.
And sometimes just on a lark, I'll take a guess at which one it is. Because, hey, yeah. Well, you're right. Isn't that neat? But
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, something that actually the Suicide Squad cast mentioned, mm-hmm. and I'll mention it here because I've been spoiled on Batman v Superman. I've been spoiled on the ending because so you guys who are out there on Twitter, be careful. If you're on Facebook, I don't know, there are a number of assholes out there who are leaking screenshots and stuff. So just
sometimes
just
against
be
a
careful.
Person's will, because there's a way to kind of post something where you've already seen it now.
Yeah, and it gets kind of,
come on, man,
stamped on your brain.
Yeah,
now,
you can't undo
said,
that. It's not.
As I told Jason, cool. You know, this was my basic reaction was, oh, okay. So
we've talked about this on this show many times, though. Like, I'm of the mind where I would like to go in with as blank a slate as I could possibly go in.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just want to see the movie as it unfolds and kind of feel it out. And you've expressed on many occasions that sometimes it actually relieves some of the, especially in a movie that you feel emotionally invested in beforehand, like this, for instance.
Right, right.
It relieves a little bit of the tension for you to kind of know a couple of things are in place. Like, you don't get as nervous about it and...
Oh, this is like my body somehow self-corrected and started healing my subdermal hematoma, and then the doctor decided, I'll drill into it anyway. Oh,
well,
okay.
Any good story that ends with trifening. There you go. Yeah.
And somewhere there's you sounding like Dr. McCoy saying, oh, it's like the Spanish Inquisition.
Right. This will relieve the demons
in his
from
head
his brain.
Drilling really holes in his escape, head isn't the
they
answer.
They won't actually have to escape. It's going to make it roomier in there. They'll be more comfortable. It won't bother him as much.
It's the tissue below the brain. Oh.
How are you going to do that? We're just going to cut out some of the back stuff. He shouldn't need the ability to sleep, reaction time, or vision. So we're just going to pull out this back half.
So Collider, and I'll put up a link, I guess, to this. Mm-hmm. Not a guess. I will. I don't know what the hell's wrong with me. I'll put up a link to this because Collider has a really cool interview with Hans Zimmer and Junkie XL.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I didn't realize is that Junkie XL worked with Hans Zimmer on the Man of Steel soundtrack, which I'm actually going to, I've decided I'm going to go back and get, because I got this new, the deluxe version of the Batman vs. Superman album.
Yeah.
Soundtrack. And it has been rocking my socks off, man. It is so good. Like, I seriously, like, I finally got around to listening to it, and, I don't know, I texted Jason at, like, 5:30 this morning, and I was like, dude, this thing is, like, it's killing it. I'm like, I rolled a tear, they finally hit that Man of Steel theme, and I was like, boom, boom, and I was like, a tear rolled, I caught my breath, I was like, what's happening?
Wait, when did I get emotions?
I may have been wrong about the Man of Steel soundtrack. I don't know. I'm going to have to go back and see.
I can't remember. Let me put it this way. I remember thinking it was good. And I think I remember being that one of the points that when we did the Man of Steel review the last summer.
Uh-huh.
I think I remember that being one of the points where I said, okay, a lot of this film is fucked up, but not that score.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've often described Hans Zimmer's scoring as ambient gloom. I think it was.
I think that's a phrase you've passed around a couple times, yeah.
Yeah. Well, they composed, and maybe it's the Junkie XL difference. Maybe it really is, because he worked apparently with him on Man of Steel, but they didn't compose together. They composed together here. And I skipped around and I listened to a bunch of the different tracks, especially I listened to about half of the album, and then I went and skipped ahead because I really just had to go to sleep.
Yeah.
Also, but I listened to a track called
A Little Suggestion. If you're going to do it, don't look at the actual titles of the sound of the.
They don't really tell you that much. They really don't.
Okay.
Like, I haven't noticed any kind of difference. Like, I don't know what the hell some of that means. Like.
Okay. And by the way, I don't know why it's already there, but this thing is on iTunes. I was just looking it up as we're talking.
It is.
It's freely available on iTunes already. Well, not freely.
Do it. Do it. Get the deluxe edition, though. You're going to want to get the Men Are Still Good, the Batman suite. But, like, oh, man, some of the Batman stuff in there, some of the Batman themes, because he talks about it in this interview how he didn't want to screw up what he did with the Dark Knight trilogy. And he wanted to kind of bring it further, and he was going to just have, Junkie XL do the Batman stuff while he did the Superman stuff. Cause he was like, oh, I got this shit. This is Man of Steel. I got this. But then he was like, no, I can't keep away from Batman. And the whole interview, it's like both of them doing the interview. They're a lot of fun. Yeah, dude, that Batman stuff, man, they got some like crazy violins, man. It makes me feel antsy and like anxious and kind of creeped out. Aww. Like I was sitting here listening to it in the dark, and I was just like, you know what, man, this is, and they've got like a choir going, like, ah. I'm like, yeah, that's some Batman shit right there. Ugh. And then like they'll like pop in with like a Man of Steel, doon doon, like, yeah.
Just,
yeah, go do that. If you know, obviously not everyone is that into soundtracks. I love soundtracks. Like Michael Giacchino's soundtrack from the new Star Trek movies are the best things about those Star Trek movies. Like that dude, he scored Lost, he scored Fringe, like he's a Mac Daddy.
Nice.
So, you know, of course, I love soundtracks, so I don't know anything about music though, so
like,
I just like listening to stuff.
I like a really good soundtrack, and then I find that if I listen to it, it'll remind me of the film, and that's nice. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I kind of put it down because, mm-hmm, you know, there is a level at which I really do like lyrics in most of my songs on my regular time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's one of those things where, like, I feel like listening to the Batman vs. Superman soundtrack, I feel like it might actually be the same thing that Batman vs. Superman does, based on some of the reviews I've heard, is that, like, the best things about that will inform the previous inferior thing, you know what I mean? So, like, maybe Batman vs. Superman soundtrack will make Batman of Steel a better soundtrack by virtue of just being friggin' awesome.
That would be a nice, yeah, that would be a nice pull out. Nice little meta edition.
Mm-hmm. By the way, they had that big advanced screening or whatever. They had the premiere, not advanced screening. What the hell's wrong?
It's premiere things that,
yeah,
that people and have sometimes.
Reviews are kind of off the chain positive at this point.
Yeah, I haven't heard a lot of people that I haven't heard of a lot of people that watched it and didn't kind of walk away thinking, "Man, I want more of that as soon as possible."
I saw some people saying they were crying in the theater. It was so good.
Hell yes. Finally, give me a non-animated version of a Batman movie that will make me cry. Because I can name you one right now that will make you cry. If you want to go check out Mask of the Phantasm, we've raved about it before, but animated still. Yeah. Still within the proper animated universe, but animated.
Mm-hmm. So DC All Access, you know, I hate to be a dick, but if you can stomach DC All Access and the way they act on there... I highly suggest, I'm going to put up a link to it. I highly suggest you watch it. Just power through the host reading the cue cards and being weird.
Because
they're just so fake exciting. It's so fake excited. It's ridiculous. It's just like, I don't know. It's just bad puns.
Oh, the kind where you're just going like, oh, guys, don't pull it back. Pull it back a little bit. Just pull it back a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're all here. We're all on the same page. You don't have to convince me. Just talk. Just do your thing.
Yeah, it's weird. but they did a feature on some of the Bat gadgets.
Yeah.
That wound up being really cool. They were talking about the grapple gun. They were talking to the guy that designed the stuff. How Zack Snyder liked the grapple gun to have like the sharp edges and the batarang to have sharp edges, and the grapple gun's like got a sort of a hammer situation on the designed onto the handle so that he can actually turn the grapple gun into like
if he just
beaten
if he just
weapon,
needs a
you know?
Bludgeon of some kind like,
yeah just a bludgeon
you never know when you're about to grapple out of a thing and realize you know what I need to hit that guy in the temple first and then I'm gonna grapple right out of this.
You never know when you're gonna have to brain a lunatic,
right?
But the coolest thing, though, is they had this thing called the tech cowl, which, I've seen this thing in, they've shown, like, variations of it in the comic books and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't think we were going to be getting into this. This is a cowl that goes beneath his, like, Batman's actual cowl.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's got, like, the little white things that light up in his eyes, you know? Like, the
perfect.
Like, flip down. It's got the voice modulator. It's got like all these different things, like so everything, you know, how you would see like detective mode in Arkham Knight or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got all that shit in there.
I mean, some of the coolest are like there'll be little pressure points kind of on the eye line where between the I forget what you call it, like the orbital. But there'll be little pressure points kind of on the side of his head where he can just kind of lightly tap at certain areas, however he does it, and it'll go to night vision or it'll go to thermal or whatever. Those are, that's the prepared man that I know and love.
So Henry Cavill did an interview, and one, he said
sure he's
some
done
cool
like
stuff
for today.
Yeah.
It's I that know. Time. Sorry, but, buddy.
He did an interview that I thought was kind of interesting. He apparently, first he said that it was really hard. The interviewer was so taken with him, and I don't blame her. She was just like a giggly, bubbling mess. Again, don't blame her. He's Henry Cavill, and then he has the British accent, and then you're like, right. Oh my gosh.
Like, I'm going to be Superman, and then he's got like a suave British accent. Oh my God, what am I supposed to do with that?
Yeah, but you know, I'm a very straight man, but I was a puddle watching the interview. Oh, he's dreamy.
Not afraid to admit when a man's more attractive.
But he says that he was talking about how he actually feels like he's connected to the role and he's protective of the role. Good stuff he said before, but here's the part he didn't say before. He lurks on message boards and reads what people say about him and about the movie.
Somebody, you're gonna get a derisive comment from someone that you don't know, and one day that might be Henry Cavill that told you to suck it.
No, he says he doesn't comment because then he said that biases everything.
Oh, he's just properly collecting data.
Yeah, he's just collecting data, just seeing what they're saying.
Look at him; he's a scientist too.
Yeah. Did you see? Did you happen to see the new featurette? One of the new featurettes where they actually had a couple of extra Batman lines, and I think the only one that was new was Batman telling Superman, "You're not brave; men are brave."
Ooh, that's a good line.
Right?
Yeah,
it is a good line.
Yeah. No, I hadn't seen any of the featurettes. I haven't seen I think it's been 2 weeks since I've watched anything that had anything new in it, and it was just a couple of snippets from the conversation they're having at the ballroom, at that Lex party or whatever.
Well, just so you guys know, like, Batman vs. Superman, they put out, like, a whole bunch of different scenes. These aren't, like, trailer scenes. These are, like, some of them are, but they're, like, extended. Like, you get a few extra seconds of footage. It's actually, like, the scene. Nothing that's, like, too spoilery. I mean, the only thing that I don't think we've seen was, like, Lois talking about a certain kind of bullet. And could she go and check out why they had bullets somewhere? Okay, cool. It was kind of funny. It was kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Perry's a dick to her.
You know, you'd think that'd have been like more bonded after that whole "we're all gonna die" experience.
Oh no, it was fun though. It was fun, Dick. It was like she comes in with the bullet. And she's like, "They found this, and they don't know what to." And the guys at the lab don't know what to make of it. And he goes, "It's a bullet." Yeah, but it's a certain kind of bullet, and they don't know how they got that. And I just want to book a flight and go over there and find out. And he's like, "All right, but you know, coach,
right?
No leg room." And she's like,
done.
Come on. Executive class. He's like, coach. Okay.
Yeah.
It was fun. It looks good. It just made me more happy. We got an extended scene of Batman and or Bruce and Diana. We got an extended extended conversation with Bruce and Alfred. Extended conversation with him and Clark before Lex walks up. It all looked really good, man. I don't know what to tell you.
I might. I got no qualms. I'm probably gonna check those out on like Wednesday night when I'm.
Right.
Just hyping myself up for it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so Henry Cavill posted something to his Instagram, and apparently this dude walked around in Times Square with a guy holding a camera.
Mm-hmm.
Henry's wearing a Superman shirt.
Mm-hmm.
He's not wearing glasses.
Mm-hmm.
There are billboards everywhere. You can see him all over the place for Batman vs. Superman, all over Times Square with his face everywhere. No one stopped to say anything to him. His takeaway, which some assholes are like, oh, no one cares about Henry Cavill. No one knows him. No one recognizes him because they don't care about Batman vs. No. Here was Henry's takeaway. His caption, "Dear Doubter, the glasses are good enough. Regards, regards, Superman."
Oh, that's fantastic. All right, the exemption on it is going to be, come on, you're in New York. They all knew you're Superman. They don't give a fuck. They have shit on their minds. There's no one in that city that's not worried about paying the like $1,200 rent to live in about a 5x5 apartment, he's calling it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they got things to deal with. To be fair, Metropolis is kind of big. I assume it might work the same.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. No word on Arrow, but...
I knew about one thing with Arrow that I had to...
Do you... well, hold on. We're still on Batman vs. Superman here. Do you remember when they did the Gotham, they had the cast members say Batman or Superman?
Yeah.
They'd done the whole same thing with The Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, and iZombie.
Really?
It was kind of fun. Oddly enough, The Flash, like, everyone said Superman except for Candace Patton. And she was just like, no, there's no way. He's going to beat Superman. Batman would take down Superman any day.
I like her more now.
I know, me too. all of them were pretty rote. It was kind of like iZombie cast was funnier than anyone else. Like the main girl was like, "Oh yes, I like how he uses his little furry bat creatures, his wood creatures to go about and save the day." We're talking about the same thing, right? and then one dude from iZombie was like,
"She's incredibly British, right?"
Oh yes, incredibly.
I mean, more so than Cavill. That is one.
Mm-hmm.
Thick accent.
Oh, and you know who I didn't realize was British was the dude that plays Firestorm, Jax, on Legends of Tomorrow.
Really?
He is very, very British, or very, very not American, which may be why he overplays his role so much. And he's like, no, this has to be an American guy. Like, I don't know. Maybe that's why.
Okay, well,
like,
then, in light of everything we've said about Jax, let me go back and say at least this in his favor. Flawless American accent.
Right?
I had no suspicions until you just said that.
Right? I had no idea. I was like, maybe he's just been, I don't know.
His name is Franz. Maybe we should have caught that.
Eh, I don't know. But anyway.
Hollywood. People get weird names.
The best thing, though, was they're doing the Legends of Tomorrow cast, and Brandon and Ralph, they just cut to him, and he just goes, seriously? Are we still talking about it? Are we really still having this debate?
Are we really going
to
do this?
Of course, Superman. No.
I mean, not my Superman, because he never hit anybody, but normal Superman.
His Superman would just kind of float around outside of Batman's house and go, why aren't we friends?
It would, or if they insisted on fighting, he would just let Bruce assault him until he got too tired and call it a W.
Right, right.
You through hitting me yet?
Yeah.
So Chris Terrio, the writer of BVS.
Thank you. Couldn't place the name for a second. Thank you.
Ah, you're welcome.
Knew I should have known that.
Chris Terrio is saying that Batman vs. Superman is darker than Man of Steel.
Mm-hmm.
And darker than Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
He says Justice League, which he is writing right now, will be lighter in tone. He says he wasn't even going to do Justice League until he saw Jesse Eisenberg playing Luther, which is kind of surprising to me.
I've heard, though, from anyone, all right, I know the trailers are not giving us a good glimpse of this, but I have not heard one person say that he didn't kill this performance.
I know.
I've not one person who's actually seen the film didn't come away going, oh my God, Jesse Eisenberg's Lex is enthralling. Like, they're not even, it's not even like, oh, he's okay. Yeah, he didn't ruin the film. It's not even something that's a backhanded insult. It's straight up support.
Like, I didn't want to get into specifics on, like, all the positive things that I've read.
Mm-hmm.
But the big takeaways that I saw from the all these positive reviews that we've been getting is that, one, Jesse Eisenberg is amazing and very layered.
Yeah.
Two, Wonder Woman got the biggest cheer when she showed up.
We've been waiting 70-something years for her.
I know.
That makes sense to
me. And three, Ben Affleck is the definitive Batman.
That one I've heard since summer when you know the film was still getting put together. This I kept hearing, he's Bruce Wayne and he's the Batman. We've got it. We got it covered.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, Gal Gadot.
Just a few
or
more
Gal
days.
Gadot.
A few more days,
or Dote. I know.
Uh-huh.
I know. Gal Gadot, I don't know how to pronounce her name.
I just
heard her say it on Jimmy Kimmel like 15 times. I still don't know how to say it.
I'm going
to
go with Gadot until...
No, the T is hard. It's a hard T.
Is it a hard T? Okay.
It's a hard T, yeah. But anyway, she released this badass Wonder Woman picture of her with like the wristbands. Like,
oh, that's where I'm getting that. Waiting for
the wristbands.
The Sam Beckett form. Okay.
Wristbands of submission on fire, it looks like. Like, they're red hot. She's got him like crossed over her face, dude. Freaking Adam Hughes, who's a comic book artist, in case you didn't know, he drew tons of Wonder Woman covers over the years. Great artist. He tweeted back to her his comic book cover that he thinks that he said this looks just like my comic cover I did.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just thought that was really cool. And when I went to Adam Hughes' Twitter account, this is all on his Twitter account. When I went there, he has a Batman versus Superman poster up that instead of having Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice as the title, it's called Orphan Fight the Movie. So, yeah, there you go. That made me happy.
Special guest appearances from most of the Robins and Lobo and John Jones.
Oh, Lobo. So, still sticking with Batman vs. Superman news. Zack Snyder says Batman vs. Superman almost had the Joker and Riddler in it, but he didn't want to take focus off of the Batman-Superman conflict.
That's fair. That's fair.
He also said that the Joker and Riddler's presence, their presence will be felt in the movie, but they're not actually in it.
Oh, we knew that already. I mean, they're...
Yeah, I mean, I've already seen the question marks.
They're graffiti artists so far.
Looks like the... Okay, so I think this is the last Batman vs. Superman news that I've got listed here.
Oh, dear God. Okay.
The entire cast of Batman vs. Superman. Ben Affleck, Henry Cavill, Amy Adams, Jesse Eisenberg, Lawrence Fishburne, Gal Gadot, Holly Hunter, Diane Lane, and director Zack Snyder will all be on Conan on March 31st.
Jeez.
For a big episode about Batman vs. Superman. You better believe you're putting together Batman vs. Superman and Conan O'Brien? Absolutely, I'm watching that shit.
Hold on, and you said March 31st?
March 31st, yeah.
So, a week after this thing comes out?
Yeah.
That is...
That's what they're doing.
That's pretty funny. I mean, well, actually, it's inspiring is what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
They're so sure of this that they got... That's the cast, right? Like, are we missing anybody?
Yeah.
Is anybody that we know about significant? Anybody that's just conspicuously missing? Because otherwise that means they told the entire cast you have to be on this a week later and offered Conan as the sacrifice. Like, they're that sure of the numbers.
Yeah.
Because damn, if this thing fails, that is a really stupid thing to do.
It is, but, I mean, dude, look at the... The advanced ticket sales.
No, the advanced ticket sales alone would say you're safe.
They're
to
not
go,
gonna
which,
fail.
By the way, I was more than happy to do my part in.
Yeah.
You better believe we're watching the first screening that's in 2D. That's our preference, 2D, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
The first
mm-hmm.
one that's available in our particular town will have our asses in those seats.
Absolutely, they will.
A few hours later, we'll be on air with another cast.
I've already got my hotel room booked.
Hell yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm coming like a day early just to make sure.
Mm-hmm. Just to check it.
Actually, I'm what?
Oh, and I'm going to have to, I mean, all right, we're watching it at 6:30.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I'm going to say at about 2:30, I'm just going to stop drinking water.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a 2.5-hour film. Like, I'm going to have to physically prepare as much as anyone can physically prepare for sitting down and watching a movie. But mm-hmm. I fully intend to.
Yeah. I'm more worried about my shitting situation than I am any kind of, like, liquid-based problems.
Hadn't crossed my mind. I was more worried about, oh my god, it's a 3-hour film.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm gonna buy a soda when I go in.
Right. Well, you know, dude, we went to see me and Bethany went to go see 10 Cloverfield Lane. By the way, amazing film.
Hmm.
Really, really good. But yeah, we both had to like piss halfway through, and I'm just like, God, I held out. I don't even know how I held out. By sheer will of strength, like I held out.
Well, I mean, when I saw Man of Steel, for instance, by the end of the film, I was pretty sure it had a yellow tint to it.
Right.
And, yeah. That, sir, is why you don't sneak singles into a film.
Mm.
Not because it's illegal
it is,
and all.
It's the only reason. It's the only reason.
Vaguely illegal? I don't even know what the rule is there.
Is it? I guess it is.
I know you can be thrown out. I don't know what else past that. I have really no idea. Probably something.
Blah, blah,
probably
blah.
At least a misdemeanor of some kind.
Well, I mean, you're not driving, so whatever. Arbitrary theater rules.
There are plenty. By the way, it's a growing concern amongst theater owners. There are a few that have actually installed beer and alcohol sales in their theaters.
Oh, they should.
Absolutely. It was a good call. Now, don't get me wrong. They're very proud of that service, and the receipt will reflect that pride. But
absolutely.
You know,
dude, I paid $6 for a Coke at 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Right.
I'm not okay with that.
And
but
you can pay $6.25 for twice that amount of Coke.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's crazy? The amount of, like, the syrup that's in Cokes and stuff like that, that 25-cent difference that gave you another, like, 24 ounces, they still profited on that.
Mm-hmm.
The cup is more expensive. They literally still made money on that 25 cents.
I feel like I should rectify my previous statement. I don't want anyone thinking that I got some weird shitting problems, okay?
Right.
Like,
right.
I just want to make... I'm so excited about the movie, I don't know, I might have an upset stomach. That's just how I might... Or I'm so excited I might shit myself. That was basically what I was getting at.
I will. I'll be nervous going in. We spent way too much time thinking about this thing. I will be physically nervous.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know myself well enough to know that the whole day, I'm going to be kind of, I'll be antsy and overly talkative and mostly just trying to not get completely distracted the entire day.
Yeah. I have already been like bouncy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know, I got my hotel confirmation and because I'm going to be in town. That's a good thing to remind everyone of. Mm-hmm. We are doing a Batman vs. Superman review like directly after the movie.
Yep.
We might not even put like the opening music of the show on it.
Scott was going to suggest a couple of things if we wanted to actually put that on. It may be a stripped down version of the normal editing process for us. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even know. Like, we just do it. Just throw it up there. We will talk to you guys about it like right to hell now. I wish we'd already seen it.
So we could
quite honestly
talk to it right now. I mean, we've been talking about BVS for like 45 minutes, of course.
Mm. Well, we're gonna have to close that down a little bit and hop over to Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, apparently Jared Leto is saying that the Joker may be the DC Universe Thanos, being teased over many films before taking the spotlight.
That'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest, he is kind of the greatest villain.
He is,
or the Joker is. I don't know.
Yeah,
Leto. I haven't seen that cat yet.
Yeah, I'm still excited about Leto's Joker. That last trailer absolutely got me. Man,
the first trailer got me.
Yeah, there wasn't. There's not been really a point.
He looks weird. He looks weird, but I mean, whatever. I don't care. I don't like it, but whatever.
I can deal with a lot of things, and I think Jared Leto's Joker is going to be one of those things I can deal with quite easily.
You remember how we were talking about Common and how he was the tattooed man?
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently he came out and said his role is not the tattooed man. He's a character who's in business with the Joker. He says his name is Monster T.
What? Why you got all those tattoos? Yeah, come on.
Yeah, Monster T. That sounds like Tattoo Man.
That sounds like that a rework of Tattooed Man.
That sounds like they didn't want to call him Tattoo Man. That's what that sounds like, because that's kind of a lame-ass name.
It's better than Monster T.
Not in David Ayer's head. Which, by the way, David Ayer is still coming out and saying, oh, Leto's absolutely incredible. Oh, people would stop what they were doing on set, and I'd be like, hey, you have to get back to work. You can't just watch him be Joker. Blah.
The way I hear it, that was partly that was like self-preservation. He apparently took it a little far on set, so I'm guessing they never knew when he was going to really pull out a firearm.
Right. But Ayer is saying, like, you know, that we've basically seen, like, nothing of this movie. We have no idea what this movie is about.
We as in us, right?
Yeah, as in us. Like,
I assume
him.
David Ayer is pretty much on top of that.
Yeah, he says we've had two trailers and we still don't know anything about what this movie is.
I believe
he
that.
Says, you know, you might think you've seen a lot of the movie. You don't know nothing about it. Okay.
No, I totally buy that, though, out of these two trailers so far.
Yeah.
Unless you're that guy who apparently, like, posted a bunch of Suicide Squad screen caps.
Yeah. Actually, he pointed that out. He was talking about how, like, they have been targeted, and there's been more leaked of Suicide Squad than anything. There's been more seen of Suicide Squad than anything, including Batman vs. Superman, even with all three trailers.
You know,
there's been more seen of Suicide Squad than anything, and we still have absolutely nothing out there. We don't know anything about this.
Is he like, leaked set photos? Is he including that? Because, you know, that was all on him.
He's including that.
I mean, his security company was, I'm guessing, called Pre-Blind Mice. It was really terrible. I could not. There was a period where, when they were actually filming, I swear I couldn't get through a 24-hour period without seeing a set photo.
You know what? I fully believe that all of that was intentional.
I hope so.
I fully believe it. Because who the hell cares two shits about something called Suicide Squad? No one knows what that is, except for us.
Right. Right.
So, yeah. I think it was probably leaked and yeah.
The Suicide Squad trailer.
Some kind of word up.
I've shown it to a couple people that I would describe as different, like opposed demographics, like different from me, and then, you know, different from the other people that I showed it to. I really tried to, like, smatter it, I guess, and just, like, hunkered people down. I was like just watch this. Like, hand over your phone and just say, watch this. I have not heard anyone yet say, yeah, I don't know. And nothing even nonchalant. It's all been, yeah, when's that coming out? Like, no one has lacked a fuck when they've watched this trailer.
I've had this reaction, or roughly this reaction, three times.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that's in the same universe as Batman vs. Superman? That's like a sequel? Yeah. Oh, I'm going to see Batman vs. Superman too, then.
I got to hold us to things. Was there anything before
that? Was there anything before that? Man of Steel. Oh, I didn't see that. I need to go see that.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
Yeah. I've had a variation of that conversation like three times with three different people.
Right.
Suicide Squad looks that damn good. And we still don't know anything about it, really. And it's exciting as hell.
Mm-hmm. They did by the way, the addition of Bohemian Rhapsody on that second soundtrack was fucking brilliant.
Absolutely.
It really was.
Absolutely.
It's a song that actually makes a lot of sense for what they were trying to accomplish. And it's a song that pretty much everyone agrees is a damn good song.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can feel how you feel about a lot of things, but normally it's on the exemption list, even if you didn't like most of the kind of music that came out during that time.
Right. I've known, like, one of the real downsides, I'll say, I guess, of living in the South, is that you have a lot of bigots sometimes. You can find yourself very quickly in just a room full of bigots, people who just hate people
and
gay
happens
people
suddenly.
And all sorts.
It happens suddenly because you're just wandering through your day thinking like, da-na-na-na-na-na-na, da-na-na-na. You're just, you know, the wandering thoughts.
Because I don't, all of our wandering thoughts are about Batman, though.
Not all of them, but at least a preponderance.
There's some Doctor Who. And then it goes into, well, God, Peter Capaldi should play the Joker, and you're back.
Right. Or I was talking with Chris Wisdom the other day about, like, oh, man, so how about David Tennant as Riddler? And, oh, God, my heart wants that so hard, Dave. But you're just going through your day and thinking about whatever you're thinking about. You've got your own internal dialogue. You're doing stuff. You got your hands are moving. You're not even sure why sometimes. And you look up, and you've, like, half participated in a conversation, kind of just with one ear. And... You realize
and then suddenly
that the conversation's gathered steam, and you look up, and
Well, I think it's usually like, you know, you're half participating in a conversation, and then whoever you're talking to winds up saying something like, "What are you, a faggot?" or something. You're like, "Wait, what? Hold on.
When did this happen? Wait.
Let's hit the brakes here. What were we talking about?" But even those assholes will tell you, "Oh no, Queen's awesome." Like 2 minutes ago, they were telling you about how the gays created, you know, HIV.
These are people that that you feel like if they were near Westboro Baptist would probably have accidentally become a member.
Right.
Like these are you're having a conversation with somebody and like you you have a combination of like wanting to slap them and see if any sense manages its way in there, or just yeah. you kind of want to punch them because you feel like they need punched. And then there's a little bit of pity involved. And like even these people, and they'll go on an entire diatribe about, and I've sat there and listened to exactly what you're talking about, the whole fucking soapbox about the gay agenda ruining America. And then, you know, you'll get like, you can bring up something like, you realize Freddie Mercury was like way gay. I mean, not like a little, I mean,
yeah. And they get defensive way. Of it. They're like, well, I mean, you know, just because he liked to do stuff with men don't mean he was gay. Like, no, he was a homosexual. Well, yeah, but you don't have to talk about him like that. I mean, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Right. There are
only two people I know of that could pull that shit off.
Suddenly they're leaping to this guy's defense. And the amazing part is, there really is. Like, all right, you take a workplace of 20 people, and you're having that conversation. There's five of those people will suddenly come out as bigots. And
sure.
It's in a room full of 20 people, you might, like, statistically, you've probably got one gay person in there. Or at least somebody that's got, a bisexual inclination. Like, statistically, you probably got somebody in there that has feelings like that. And that person's over in the corner going like, "Why does Freddie Mercury get an exemption? I feel like crap every day."
Right.
It's brutal.
There are two people who get that. Freddie Mercury and Elton John. And you got that poor son of a bitch over in the corner going, "Why don't I get an exemption?
Right.
Why don't I get an exemption?" You know, and then the other, they're like, "Shut the hell up. You write Candle in the Wind."
Right.
"That song made me cry."
Low be it for us to work out the logic of bigots.
Well, no, but I mean, I think at a certain point, you know, you just can't deny greatness. Like, yes, I mean,
there really are the people going, "Yeah, I didn't like him for who he was, but damn it, I love that song." You know,
I mean, I don't want to look at him with his glittery glasses or nothing.
All right, I apologize for our Southern accents while we're doing this particular reenactment. We're aware that not all Southern people are bigots and vice versa. Right. We're aware there are plenty of bigots that don't have Southern accents, but this is where we come from. We grew up here, so.
Yeah, absolutely. there are plenty of Southern people that we know that are like, you know, I don't know. "Why can't we get married?" I'm like, I know, man.
Right, yeah.
I mean,
there's that one guy over in the corner, though.
The accent is the accent.
I always feel bad.
There's
only so
always
much
the one
do.
Guy in the corner. Like, I've known that guy in the corner who was like in the entire workplace almost was nothing but gay people. And
I've literally worked on a workplace where on the entire workforce, I was the only straight person there. I've literally had that job.
Right. Well, no, I was saying like I've worked in the situation where it was like, yeah, that guy over in the corner who's not accepted, he's gay, and he's not accepted because he's gay, but everyone else is gay too. They just still don't like him. And it's because he's gay. He's just too gay. They can't, they're like, "No, you make us look bad. Just sit over there, boy."
I actually did run across that one time, and I pointed it out, and I was immediately met with a hailstorm of criticism.
Mm-hmm.
But then I pointed it out a couple more times, and eventually actually won that argument, I think. You never
know.
No,
you shut up. You shut up. He knows what he did.
No, I don't think he does. Has anyone explained this to him? Has anyone taken the time?
I am no expert in the annals of the LGBT rule book. I don't know. I just cock my head like a dog being shown a magic trick and move on with my day. Anyway,
just try
the point
to be
is,
supportive where we may and survive the bigotry
point is,
in this kind of part of the country.
The point is, in this surprisingly long and probably in some way offensive rant.
I'm almost sure.
Slash conversation.
We managed to
Queen
piss
is
off
awesome.
A couple of people. But yeah, what we did, what we're sure about is that including Freddie Mercury and Bohemian Rhapsody was absolutely the right way to go. Demographics be damned.
Hopefully, whatever we said that was ignorant, you know our hearts are in the right place. anyway.
I'm not above being called ignorant, so feel free to write me and tell me why I'm ignorant. Most likely, I'll be like, oh, that's a damn good point, and apologize.
Yeah, I'll apologize with my middle finger.
It's a life skill. I've learned to apologize for things that I did wrong. And I'm a conceited fuck, so that was a hard-earned life skill.
That is a yeah, me too. That's a hard... I'm one of those people that's like, I'm really conceited and egotistical, but also hate myself and completely understand. Like,
right,
so
if you get on to me, I'm like, oh, I totally get it. I hate that guy.
It's just our natural sucking up mechanism. Like, oh, right. I hate that asshole. That's you. You were talking about you. Yeah, screw me, right?
Right. Can't even talk to him about how much I hate him.
Piece
realize
of shit.
The conversation we're having, right? Oh.
Why aren't you feeling bad? Stop agreeing with us.
You're
so
right.
Charles
I am
Roven.
Shitty. Fuck.
Charles Roven is reiterating that Suicide Squad will be PG-13.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently,
mm-hmm.
there are a lot of reports out there like, oh, they're going to be R-rated because of Deadpool. No, shut up.
No, again, they've already shot the movie.
Down.
You can't change everything.
Calm down. It's okay. I feel like so many of these people on the internet, I'm just like, they're like shivering bunnies. I just want to pet them. It's okay. Just wiggle your nose. It'll be all right.
Shivering bunnies. I like that.
Here, take a pellet.
Just when whipped.
So, something that we talked about a few months ago
mm-hmm.
Has been confirmed officially now. I don't know why, but I just thought it was already confirmed. But Amber Heard has confirmed that she is going to be Mera, the I don't know, Aquaman love interest slash... She's his wife in the comics, Queen of Atlantis.
Right, right. We're assuming it gets to
she is.
Some royalty level at some point.
I know at some point he was like a prince, a long-lost prince of Atlantis. I don't know, whatever. Yeah. Silver Age is hard to navigate sometimes. But yeah. Especially when it's Aquaman. Especially when it's Aquaman. It's like, can we just take all of the damn heavy-handed environmentalist stuff out of Aquaman for just a second and make it as cool as it should be?
Mm-hmm.
We can throw it in. We can just put it in spurts. Put it in spurts. Kind of like Star Trek IV.
Mm-hmm.
Voyage
mm-hmm.
home. Oh, no. Let's not kill the whales, but also have some fun.
We all agree on not killing things, in theory.
Okay. When I said fun, I didn't mean ride the giant seahorse.
You may have given them too much leash there.
As if I were there. Was mm-hmm. there. Whatever. Anyway, she's going to be Mera. She says that she has tried on a costume. It's going to be like half armor, half scales. So, whatever. That's cool.
Excellent.
Sounds cool to me. Like, let's
yeah,
do
it does.
This. I don't know. Apparently... Deadpool, now this is actually legitimate because of Deadpool, Warner Brothers is now once again interested in Lobo.
Yes.
And they have hired Wonder Woman writer Jason Fuchs to pin a Lobo movie. Apparently they were pretty happy with what he did over on Wonder Woman, so that's happening.
That's awesome.
And that is the movie news for this episode. We're going to jump over to TV now. Proper. Gotham, we mentioned on our Gotham episode, we do Gotham, weekly Gotham reviews, so check that mm-hmm. out. Gotham mm-hmm. got an early renewal, third season, 22 episodes, that's what we're getting.
Full season renewal, too. That's a full boat of fate there.
Well, they generally do that. Like, once that first season, and they order the back nine, or the back seven, Supergirl's case.
Yeah.
And then if they're going to renew it, they usually just renew it for another season.
Once you get to the point where you're being renewed for seasons, you stay there. And then there's that moment where you get renewed for 13 episodes. And every alarm bell in your head should go off going, I'm going to be unemployed. I'm going to be unemployed. I'm going to be unemployed.
Well, you know, sometimes. But that's more like rabid fan base, a lot of good reactions on social media, whole lot of people watching on other platforms, but not really doing it on the ratings. That's what that's going to be. This they're saying Gotham, Gotham's been averaging 4 or 5 million on television mm-hmm. in the ratings, but they're saying they get like 9 million weekly viewers across multiple platforms. Yeah, that's reason enough to get out of the third season.
Yeah, and the multiple platforms, by the way, are infinitely more trackable at this point than the Nielsen ratings.
They are, and I'm really
excited
that they're
much more accurate.
I'm really excited that they're actually bringing that into it because I think that's so important. Like, we should be ignoring Nielsen ratings at this point.
If you didn't have an entire industry of advertisement built on it, hey, probably would have happened by now.
I know. To me, it's like the Nielsen ratings, like, here are the ghost ratings,
mm-hmm.
and now here are the trackable ratings. Okay.
Right.
What do these ghost ratings do? I don't know, but that's what sponsors like. So whatever.
Right. Here are the things that are very possibly true. Here are the things we know are true.
Right.
You know what I mean? If I have 3 million in hand downloaded, like, if there's like an episode downloaded 3 million times on iTunes,
mm-hmm.
that's a sure thing. I know that thing. Someone spent, I guess, $6 million on this. Is it about $1.99 an episode?
Mm-hmm. And you know
what?
You
can tell me there were 14 million Nielsen viewings, and I might feel better about your 3 million downloads.
And you know, I would rather it be like on the internet or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, through some other platform that doesn't even have commercials. Because I don't mind product placement. Like, creators, like writers and shit, they give a, oh, I don't want to see product placement. Like, people, critics and stuff, like, oh,
yeah.
God.
You see
look
a logo on
there.
The side of a car or something, people yeah. flip out. Dude, yeah, they drive like, cars. Oh, they drive cars
drinking,
that people have made before.
Look at him drinking that Diet Coke. That's such an obvious, but yeah.
Although
you know
I admit,
what?
The last time that struck me was watching like Jessica Jones. I'm just thinking like, dude, how many whiskey companies got in on this show, man?
There was a, I can't remember the name of it. It was some weird show. Bethany and I were out to eat and we saw on this, not on a billboard. It was a television playing some show. I think it was on IFC.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what it was called, about a couple of rednecks or something. But I know What's-Her-Face from Firefly was in it and Mad Men.
Christina Hendricks?
Yeah, Boom Boom.
not sure what that means. I interpret it as the woman of my dreams. Okay.
every time I see her, I think of J.J. Evans from Good Times calling her, not her, but just talking about this random girl we never see called Boom Boom Belinda. yeah.
So
Boom Boom Belinda.
Weird
or Saffron.
Little alley of your mind that I care not to
I know.
Explore.
That's a weird, yeah, that's a weird thing. Well, a lot of thoughts in my, a lot of my life is dictated by J.J. on Good Times. Like, I see a good thing, I think, dynamite!
That is,
watched way too much of that when I was a kid.
I feel like there should be some Hugo Strangian therapy that relieves you of this burden.
Yeah, something bad happens, I go, damn, 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 James!
It's okay, we can get you help.
So anyway.
There are people. People you can talk to.
I'm mad as a damn hatter.
Right. Some sort of Good Times hotline.
But yeah, so they were sitting down at like a picnic table, and it was just so obvious the way the guy was holding the Coke can that he kept angling it at
right.
the camera. And then every time we cut back to him from a different camera angle, the Coke can was like facing
the can
him directly,
had moved.
Like
yeah.
perfectly.
Right.
That's too far, but it takes me out of a show when I'm watching it, and like they've obviously got like a knockoff brand of something that I love. Like
yeah.
it's meant to look like a Diet Coke, but it's really like diet soda. You
right.
know, I drink Diet Coke every day. That's why I keep talking about that. They're not a product. They're not paying us to say anything about Diet Coke. I just drink Diet Coke and Dr. Pepper
semi-religiously
a fair amount of my time. Yeah. Yes. And now Diet Canada Dry because I love my ginger ale.
There you go.
But I'm pretty sure I don't have a liver or kidneys.
Actually, the caffeine will help your liver.
Right.
It actually does induce liver repair to some extent. Listen to that there, hangover people. There's a reason you like coffee.
This has been another teachable moment by Jason Goss.
Also coconut water. Just throwing that out there.
Ooh, yeah, coconut's good stuff, man. Yeah. I don't care for it. I don't like the taste of it, of course, but because it's good for me.
You have to do something to counteract the kidney stones, though. So,
anywho, I don't know what I was talking about. Oh, I'd be okay if they just did a lot of product placement. I don't mind Jim Gordon eating Lucky Charms. Where the hell is the problem in that?
No, people eat products. It's okay. I mean, I prefer it more when it's something that I know, like soda cola. You know, if somebody pops up with a soda cola during any DC product, I kind of, okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that kind of thing. Or if you know, they have a cup of Jitters coffee or something.
Right.
Like, you're happy with those things.
You know what? I'm happy. Yeah, I'm fine with that. But, you know, if it's a real, like, if it could be a real conversation, like a quick aside, I'd be fine with that. Like, you know, Gordon and Bullock walk into the car. Gordon looks over and goes, new car? Bullock goes, yeah, Lexus. Nice.
Yeah,
that's
you
it.
You can work it in. You can work it in so it's not egregious by any stretch.
Like,
and
you know how many times
part?
I have that conversation, we're like, oh, what, you got a new car? Yeah. What is it, Honda? Oh, Honda's good. It'll last
yeah.
you forever.
I
had that conversation all the time.
There are going to be tons of people that are like, oh, how did that serve the story of those few seconds? Come on, man. We're talking about TV here. 20% of an episode of TV doesn't serve its story properly enough. Take like 5 seconds of that 20 minutes and, you know, throw a commercial in there. Get your money back so we can stop
doing
freaking Nielsen
yeah.
ratings.
I'm not saying I want Bullock just to go into like how much leg room he has or how many picnics he takes his family on
right.
or whatever the hell.
Right.
But
I don't need to know the MP3 features or how crystal clear the speakers are in Bluetooth settings.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, you could throw me a line here. That'll be fine. I don't care. That rings true. That's real life for me.
You know, at this point, is my favorite, like, real life product placement advertisement that I see all the time.
What's
is,
that?
That, like, Nick Saban has a deal with Coca-Cola, and he never brings a cup. He never actually brings, like, a can of Coca-Cola. Dasani's a Coca-Cola product, so that's what he compromised with, was, I'm not bringing it, like, I swear he probably told him, I'm not bringing a bunch of sodas up there. I'll get your water. And he does. He'll bring an unopened bottle of Dasani water, place it with the label facing outwards, perfunctorily, and proceed to ignore it for the entirety of the press, of the actual interview. And then walk up and leave the thing. Like, he literally sets it down in a way that he might as well have replaced the label with "Pay me, motherfuckers." It's wonderful. Like, he might as well have just put, like, "Thanks for the truck," you know? I'll set it next to the one I have from Ford.
Yeah. I need to hire someone to run these things because I don't have time to drive. And also, I don't drive myself anymore.
I swear, I think I've watched him, like, take a sip of that water a handful of times.
But yeah, I mean, to me, those conversations are true to life, so I wouldn't have a problem with it. Like, I don't know, I just, we live
making
in a
me made to work.
Like, conversations like that happen because we consumerism is a very real thing in this country. So it's there. People want to know, like, oh, what brand is it? Oh, nice, or oh, that's a piece of shit. People want to know that stuff. It's a real conversation. I have no problem.
It's the same conversation. Like, Gordon and Bullitt getting in the car. As soon as they get in, Gordon looks at it. New car? Yep. How, you can afford a Lexus? Yeah, they're really not that bad. You probably grab one too. Hop in the car, move on with their day.
Absolutely.
Done.
Absolutely.
Like, I'll giggle because I know what they did. And then other than that, I'll be like, okay, yeah, get back to the episode, guys.
Yeah. But, like, writers will be like, we don't want to mess up the integrity of the show. And the critics were like, oh, I can't believe they did that.
Oh, if
I was in that writer's
room.
You took
15 notes from network executives just during the first half of this show. Tell me that's not, don't just talk about the integrity you have left after the network execs gave you too many notes.
You know what? I would screw the storyline. I want to be a writer on a show with you. All we do is, all our jobs would be, we can work on 15 different shows. All our jobs would be is coming up with new ways of throwing in product tie-ins.
That just sounds like a very long-term practical joke on our part.
It would. I think we'd have a lot of fun with it.
Just to see how many practical tie-ins we could squeeze into one episode of television.
Right.
Like, every day ends with, like, ab-wrenching, maniacal laughter.
Right. I know. Like, Sherlock, what's
y'all
that?
Have really lost some weight while you've been working this job. I know, we laugh so hard. It takes an hour and a half to come down from the laughter every day. I pretty much have
Sherlock,
to take a cold shower.
What is that you've got in your mouth while you're pontificating? Oh, this is my Pilot Precise. It's the only pen I use while solving mysteries. Like, seriously, I could make that work. I really could. Like, you know how many conversations I have about pens on a daily basis? Like, just signing your name to something, like, oh, what kind of pen is that? Oh, that's a Pilot Precise. Oh, that looks good. Yeah, I know. That's smooth.
Yeah, mine ends up being...
Can I try it? Yeah, there you go.
Mine actually ends up being... I have one conversation over and over again with pens. And it's usually like... Well, I'm sorry, I have two. One is, that's a good pen. Good call. And then the other one, the long-term version is, what kind of pen is this? And it's rhetorical. I don't give a fuck what your answer is. The answer, the retort I'm going to give is, yeah, so you should go get some G2 Pilots. Either color, preferably blue. You want the .07.
I like 05.
Didn't even know they had 05.
They might not. I just like 05 as a rule.
Whole new world.
See, this is my point. We're sitting here having a conversation about pens now. We're not even talking about the thing we were talking about. We're not even talking. It's not even an example anymore. We're literally sitting here talking about pens. These are real life conversations, people. And we're moving on.
It strikes me that we're literally talking about not news at the moment.
We've gotten wrapped up in a conversation.
It might be
about
time to get out of the bat wieners and head back to the TV.
These aren't even bat wieners at this point. We've progressed. We've.
You know what kind of pen Batman would use? I think the more precise version, he'd probably grab a G2. I think so.
Yeah, we've transcended bat wieners.
Gone into whole new levels of inanity.
So apparently, DC Entertainment has registered a trademark for the name Pennyworth for a, quote, production of live-action dramatic comedy television series.
That one confused me. All right, so I saw that, and there's a moment where, like, I'm sitting there going, Pennyworth, wait, hold on. Yes, 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 yes. Live action, dramatic, yes, yes. Comedy, what? What?
Alfred can be pretty funny, though.
He absolutely can be pretty. I mean, I just watched him last week kick a guy's ass, and I was laughing the whole time.
Not the whole time, but
several good laughs in there.
In that same episode, I watched Bullock tell him, dude, you cannot keep telling us all this illegal shit you're doing.
Right.
You're the cops.
Right. Don't get me wrong. I think he can absolutely pull off funny. I mean, Pertwee has a great straight man kind of delivery that's just absolutely wonderful. But
no, I think
I don't know if it deserves to be in the actual explanation. Like, would you describe Gotham as a live action dramatic comedy?
Yes. Maybe unintentionally so, but yes.
You wouldn't really describe it that way. It's not on the treatment for it, man.
It's been getting better, but you know, the two people that come up in my head that who don't get enough screen time are always Alfred and Bullock. If they team them up in a series,
or
even had like a, you know, here's a little toss aside, like mission for Alfred, and then like he has to deal with Bullock because, you know, Jim's obviously on a case or some shit.
Dude, if Alfred and Bullock got pulled away for their own kind of half funny, half dramatic series set in Gotham, I would... Going back to my previous thing, I would literally resort to only buying these episodes on iTunes just to make sure that they got my money.
On regular Gotham, you have bits where like Gordon is like, hey, what were you doing? Like, I needed you. You don't even want to know. Awesome.
Just comes back every week.
Now, let me just make this clear. I don't actually think that's a good idea.
No.
I'm just saying I would watch the hell out of it and probably enjoy it.
Which makes you wonder if it might in fact be a good idea?
No, I absolutely know it's a terrible idea.
But when you say like, oh, I'd watch the hell out of it, enjoy the hell of it. Yeah. Then you start wondering, okay, what are your criteria for a good idea? Because it just sounds like I made a thing you'd watch, and that's probably good, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Look, don't get me wrong. I think it would kind of wreck a lot of things to take that much of a tonal leap. But
I don't even think they'd have to take a tonal leap. The last episode of Gotham, if
you've never believed it before, just watch that episode and tell me Pennyworth is not something you might be interested in watching a little bit more of.
Yeah, I don't think it would be that big of a tonal leap. Because with certain characters, they can get away with, like, Alfred can be really funny.
I've even seen Gordon absolutely drop a couple of punchlines.
Yeah, but Bullock and, if you had Bullock and Pennyworth together,
It's on. It's absolutely
That would be a comedy series.
Oh, yeah.
And it would be fine. It would be perfectly, you know, it's like they're funny people in real life.
Yeah. You pull in the little scamp they have to use as a CI named Ivy Pepper.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Now that sounds really bad.
I'm glad I killed
Jason
it.
Jason just ruined it for me. Moving on. Melissa Benoist. Yeah. Melissa Benoist says she wants. I somehow skipped over this. Brian McManaman has been cast as Basil Carlo, the original Clayface on Gotham.
Good. Good, good, good.
So there you go.
Going OG on the Clayfaces, huh?
Mm-hmm. All right. So, Supergirl. Actually, you know what? I kind of wish they'd gone with Matt Hagen. I liked the actor aspect of him. I really did.
Yeah, that was neat.
Was Basil Carlo the actor in the comics? I remember Matt Hagen was the actor on BTAS.
Yeah, I'd have to look that one up, man. Because there were a bunch of Clay-fi, but
Clay-fi.
Yeah. I think I remember the first one just being a mob variation and the second one being the actor variation with a mob slant or something.
Gotcha.
I'd have to.
I'm sure that there was. Oh, no. Basil Carlo was the actor in the comics.
Oh, was he? Okay.
Yeah. Well, then we are going to mad. Apparently, he was driven mad when he heard of a remake of the classic horror film he starred in, The Terror, being made. Okay.
Perfect.
So apparently, he doesn't like remakes as much as we don't. Feels
good
the same
him.
Way, guys. Over to Supergirl. Melissa Benoist says she wants a super. She wants bat. Sorry, she wants Batgirl on the show next. She wants to do like a Batgirl crossover.
Oh God, yes.
Can we just have a Batgirl series?
I've got your back, Melissa.
Can we just have a Batgirl series? Like seriously? Like I would watch that.
Oh,
I'd be so on board.
Hell yeah!
Like screw Batman. I don't want to see him anymore.
We got plenty of Batman. I'll take a Batgirl.
Yeah.
And
that
could be simple. I mean, you know, you pick one of the Robins and that's kind of a regular role, regular cast member, semi-regular cast member. You have Batman pop on like once a season or it's no big deal.
I'm just kidding, Batman. I want to see you all the time.
It's okay. It's okay. He does not give a damn whether we want to see him.
He's a fictional character. I know. But
well, more than that, he just wouldn't care. He does what he does anyway.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I absolutely
that supersedes
would love
the fictional aspect to me somehow.
I would absolutely love to see a Batgirl show.
Yeah. Yeah, and if it took itself seriously, that would make me pretty happy. And you know, go for it. Mm-hmm. Really go for it. Like season one, kind of getting a root. Season two, really working on a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Season three, recovering from recently learning to deal with a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
Season four, bunch of magic. Season actually, I'm describing the Arrow story arc so far.
Yeah.
Season four, bunch of magic, gets her powers back. Season five, yeah.
Yeah. Season one, crush on Dick. Season two, crushing on Dick a little more, but kind of jealous that he's with Starfire.
Starfire, yeah.
By season five, they're just, you know.
Oh, we're all cool here. We're all adults.
Grinding rails on the regular. I don't know.
Yeah, we can get behind that. What else you got?
Grinding rails like a Norwegian skate champion.
We don't know how skating works. Or Norwegian.
No. I researched it heavily before I wrote that line. That's actually from an old comedy sketch that's on YouTube that I did.
Oh, I was trying to. I went with Norwegian trying to fit in, but never mind. Yeah. Norway. No, I know that's Norway. Damn it. Feel silly in retrospect now that I.
Oh, so Supergirl is pretty much like a sure thing on getting renewed. But you know what has been renewed is every damn thing else.
Right.
Arrow has been renewed for season five.
Right.
So, you know, I just saw someone today posted an article like, Stephen Amell not returning for season five because he's shooting a movie. No, you're wrong.
Oh, come on, you clickbaity son of a bitch.
You're like a month late on all those Stephen Amell not coming back rumors, and
yeah.
Just combining it with a new bit of news that the Amells have got a new movie that they're uh-huh. putting together. Shut up. Don't believe those rumors.
Yeah.
Bug-Eyed Bandit is going to return in Beacon of Hope. She was first seen in Flash Season 1. She's coming for Felicity Spinechip. Yeah.
Ooh.
Jam.
Ooh. That...
So, I guess kind of, gosh, we're just going to kind of pop back and forth here, because all this kind of, a lot of this interconnects.
By the way, you didn't say Legend of Tomorrow got renewed. Did you mean to? Or were you getting to that?
I was getting to it. I said every damn thing else got renewed.
Okay, you said, okay, sorry, didn't mean it. You said, like, Flash. I thought that you said Arrow Flash and was leaving off LOT. I was like, those poor bastards, what'd they do to you?
Legends of Tomorrow did get renewed for a second season.
Yeah.
Flash got renewed for another season.
Yeah.
There's a faux Supergirl cover popping flying around out there. It says who's the fastest person alive? It's got Supergirl versus the Flash in a race. They've got footage of this floating around now. I just can't wait for that crossover. Mm-hmm. I hate to say it. I think I might. No, that's not true. I was gonna say I was a little more excited for that than I was for Batman vs Superman. But that's just bullshit.
Yeah,
total
that's,
bullshit.
That's lunacy.
But you know what?
Understand.
It's like 3 days apart. It's like 3 days apart for me. So I'm just going to just nominee.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're all... It's going to be a good week.
It is.
It's a wonderful week when the worst thing that can happen, if you've already consumed all of the wonderful DC stuff, like the worst thing that you could mm-hmm. do at that point, if you run out of anything, is I guess I'll just go watch season two of Daredevil with like fucking live action Frank Castle. It's a good week, man. It's a good times.
Grant Gustin is saying that their next season there might be a Legends of Tomorrow Supergirl Flash Arrow crossover.
Jesus.
He says it's an idea that makes its way now. The idea of designing a crossover together all falls into place and can be that during next season we will all get together for an adventure. Yes, please.
Please.
Yes, please.
Is that going to be during their... there's usually episodes like 8 and 9 that kind of lead up to it.
They can make it 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and whoever the hell else. I don't care.
Pick a number. Any number. Dave will be happy.
All right,
yeah,
so
usually they do
today.
Like the giant crossovers kind of toward the end of the fall season, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there, like kind of November-ish, I guess. Might be thinking mm-hmm. about that.
Yeah. Again, I don't care. Whatever. It's all good. Like,
I mean, by that time, I'll still be kind of wallowing in how good Suicide Squad was, probably. That's my
Hopefully.
Guess.
So they have released an episode 17 synopsis for The Flash. After the shocking revelation that Zoom is Jay Garrick, Barry is more determined than ever to get back to Earth 2 to stop Zoom forever. Desperate to find a way to increase his speed, Barry decides to travel back in time and masquerade as his earlier self in order to get his arch nemesis, Dr. Harrison Wells, Eobarthon, to teach him how to run faster. However, things don't go as planned, and Barry is stunned to face familiar foe Hartley Rathaway, as well as old friend Eddie Thawne.
We do get Eddie Thawne back. Good. Good, good, good. Because said, is that 17?
Yeah.
Was it 16 that's airing this week with Trajectory?
Yeah, Trajectory, yeah.
Okay. Did you feel like Trajectory was going to be a little bit of a sideshow?
A little bit.
I mean,
especially with that episode 17 synopsis.
Yeah, especially like...
But...
It makes you kind of think the stinger at the end of Trajectory is going to be the reveal that the rest of the crew getting to know that Barry was, or that they were all shanghaied by Jay.
Mm-hmm. And...
Or it makes you think that's going to happen, at least. But, don't get me wrong. When I say sideshow, though, Flash is one of the shows that I'm so proud of right now because they, even on those Monster of the Week episodes, they actually do tell you a decent amount of story. Mm-hmm. They never leave Serial behind at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're also introducing Rupture, it looks like, who would be the alter ego of Armando Ramon, which is Cisco's brother. So
right.
It looks like that's got to be in Trajectory. So they ain't leaving out story, man. They ain't leaving
mm-hmm.
out Serial.
Mm-mm.
Oh man,
I'm so looking forward to someone teaching Cisco how to do all of the tricks he can actually do. Oh my god.
So do you know anything about Superhero High?
Oh god, no.
Well, here's the basic synopsis for it. When Supergirl comes crashing into the Superhero High cafeteria, she meets IT genius Barbara Gordon, who takes the powerful new kid under her wing. Barbara helps Supergirl understand her powers with the help of Wonder Woman, a hero who becomes a trusted friend and mentor to the Kryptonian teen. All while Supergirl is getting settled, the Junior Detective Club, comprised of The Flash, Bumblebee, and Hawkgirl, starts unraveling a mystery regarding recent security breaches at the school. Anais Fairweather voices Supergirl, with Mae Margaret Whitman as Barbara Gordon, also involved are Greg Kipes, or Sipes maybe, I don't know, Tara Strong, Ashley Eckstein, John DiMaggio, Tom Kenny, Helen Slater, and Dean Cain. God, those two are everywhere.
Damn, that is a voice cast.
Jennifer Coyle of Bob's Burgers is the specials director and producer, with Sam Register of Teen Titans Go as executive producer, and Shea Fontana of DC Superhero Girls serving as writer. The DC Superhero Girls world explores the super teens during their formative high school years and before they've discovered their full superpower potential. They released a line of DC Superhero Girls action figures based on the series at Target. I've seen some of them. I wanted to buy all of them. They look amazing. But really girly, really kidsy.
It's one of the DC animated products, right?
Absolutely. It is, yeah. And it is launching this month.
Oh,
so,
shit. That comes out, like, soon?
Yeah. Let me see. Superhero High. What is that? Yeah. I've seen a bunch of clips and stuff of it. Like, Barry running around in his outfit. It's like, Flash outfit, yeah. It was announced last year about this time. October 1st is apparently when the first episode comes out.
Gotcha. Now,
sorry. This is a web series, October 1st, 2015. So a bunch of web series have already come out.
Oh, that's what we're dealing with. Okay.
And there's going to be a TV special on Boomerang that has already aired on Boomerang, March 19th, 2016.
And
it's a web series and a special. So go check that out.
Just found out, or I just realized one. This is interview with Diane Nelson.
Uh-huh.
Whom I referred to as Diane. yeah. So her idea was pretty much, yeah. So there's no like young girl superhero stuff. Let's hit that up. So yeah, it's supposed to be aimed at girls 6 to 12.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, they got Harley Quinn, they got Katana, they got Poison Ivy in this thing.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I kind of want to watch it.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like
Gorilla Grodd is a professor of some sort. And Amanda Waller runs the high school.
Of course she does. Of course she does. She doesn't get involved in something without running it.
Mm. I mean, I'm not saying it's like going to be like, you know, oh, just the most stimulating damn thing you've ever seen, but... You know.
No, I mean, it's going to be geared for like 6 to 12. I mean, but...
Well, it's geared for 6 to 12-year-old girls, so that should be perfect for me.
right. So emotionally, we'll totally be there.
Right. Oh, man. So you want to talk about Legends of Tomorrow? It's been renewed. Les Moonves claims that they plan on renewing Supergirl. I said that already. I don't know how that news got there, but I read it anyway, because I am a mindless drone. Booster Gold is rumored to be in Season 2 of Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh, fuck, please.
That's not confirmed, but it's a rumor. Another rumor is that a big mystery DC character is going to show up in the season finale of Legends. No idea who that'll be.
I'll put it this way. I goddamn hope so.
Right?
I mean, like, Legends, the thing that, and I've actually been down on Legends the last couple of weeks because I didn't like a couple things that were going on. But the thing that they've been doing, bar none, well, was, man, you get to hang out with some characters that shouldn't even be on the agenda.
Right.
Yeah, man, bring out, like, the whole fucking box of Legos. Just dump it out on the ground and start building stuff.
I want Adam Strange, like, now.
Adam Strange, fucking Captain Comet, whoever the hell you want to do, man.
Captain Comet?
Yeah. Bring them all out.
No, I want Animal Man.
God, I want Animal Man. So badly.
Dude, that's what they should do. They should do, like, Vixen, Buona Beast, and Animal Man in one show.
Are just,
and they're, like,
this,
fighting for her affection.
I heard that there were, this was a while back. Like, apparently they cast the girl for Vixen and were so taken with her that people have been talking about Vixen, like, in live action for a while. And if you heard our review of that episode, we were pretty damn taken with her, too. But yeah.
That's what I would do. I would do a live-action Vixen show.
No, even just let Vixen be a regular cast member of Season 2 of Legends, and then have one of these spinoff episodes where she goes and hangs out with Animal Man and Buona Beast.
Yeah.
Even that would be enough for me. I just want...
You know what?
I just want Little Baker on there.
Yeah, I would put her in Legends of Tomorrow Season 2, and then actually give her Vixen, the TV series. Have Buona Beast and Animal Man constantly, like, fighting for her affections. And because she's a strong, independent woman who don't need no man, she will never choose either one of them.
See, I'm good with that if she never actually chooses one, because that would be a neat take on the whole thing.
It would. It
but
would.
Before
like,
that,
maybe she
I'd
gets
be like,
a little
oh,
regret
man,
because
God.
I would totally kill Buona Beast. Because you just, after, spoilers, Brave and the Bold, you just kind of have to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he died well there.
He did.
I forget what happens to him in the Grant Morrison run. I can't remember exactly what happens. I think he actually passes on the mantle somewhere not too far after that.
Probably.
That Grant Morrison, Animal Man. I've said it many times, I'll say it again.
Mark Hamill put out a picture from the Killing Joke movie.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, that actually confirms, that it's been confirmed that for reals, we reported it forever ago, and then they were like, well, we can't say. Well, you already said, but
yeah,
okay.
That was done.
Official
was
confirmation.
On the table.
Kevin Conroy, Mark Hamill, Kevin Conroy, Mark Hamill. Yes.
Right.
Absolutely. Killing joke. Give it to me. If you sew up my mouth and my nose, I don't know, roll it up and insert it through my dick hole. I don't know. That's happening.
An image probably taken right from the Killing Joke's cutting room floor. And sadly,
I'll snort it through my dick.
I get
what?
Where you're coming from. I can't support the imagery, but that's more arbitrary than anything.
You can't support the imagery or the science behind it, but...
Right. For God's sake, the mind of such a creature that would make it. But I can get behind how enthusiastic you are about that film.
That's one of those statements that, like, I'm going to hear about again. I'm going to hear about again. Like, one day I'll have to answer to that to my Lord and Savior, who will be like... I'll stand at the gates, and he'll be like, so what was this about rolling the Killing Joke up and snorting it through your dick hole? And I'll be like, I don't know.
No, you're just going to say, like, I'm sorry, I know there's a lot of people in line, but have you read it? I have a copy.
He's like, not
like,
anymore,
I had someone. Aww. I had someone actually bury me with my copy. So, yeah, Jason was kind enough to throw that in the box real quick before they sent me off. So if you have a minute, about 100 of them.
He's like, no worries. I have my own copy. Oh, okay.
Right. I mean, I get it. He's going to give you the same conversations. Like, okay, I get the instinct, just the imagery.
Right. He's like, yeah, I mean, it's Alan Moore, right? I mean, he's great. I know. up until Lost Girls. I know, right? Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, we're all on board here.
It was bad. Lost Girls was just off the... Ugh,
right.
Oh.
At this point, he's telling you, like, yeah, I talked to him a few years ago about that. Didn't really have a good explanation, but whatever.
He said something about his Lord and Master Satan, and I went, oh, you're not supposed to be here.
Right.
Alan Moore's a weird guy.
Combination of surprise and disappointment.
He's all into some weird occult stuff, man.
I've seen
in the middle of interviews, he's like, oh yeah, well the character development is, and then all of a sudden he's like saying some kind of Latin prayer, and he's got like a metal thing on his finger, and you're like, what the hell is happening? There's a goblet, and there's a candle.
I honestly...
Virgin's blood pouring into a chalice.
I don't care. I don't care one bit. I swear I could watch that man murder a goat in front of me, and I would probably still be asking, like, okay, do you need some pen and paper? I mean, I'll totally pay for your Office 365 subscription if you can write some more stuff. I'll do that. I'll do that right out of pocket right now.
He's like, Lost Girls 2? And like, no, never mind.
Never mind. Retract. Never mind. Also, put the goat back together, for God's sake.
That's all the news I have.
Maybe some duct tape.
That's all the news I have. I don't know.
Is it? Oh, I had one error thing.
Uh-huh.
You probably ran across this. And the only reason I even bring it up is because we had brought it up before. So to continue it.
Sure.
The episode that's coming up, if anyone hasn't seen the promo for it or read the synopsis or whatever, at some point there was a picture of Elicity getting married. Elicity marrying itself? I don't know. That's a weird thing to phrase.
I'm down with the sickness.
There was a picture of the Elicity marriage. There we go. That's the elegant way to phrase that, right?
I suppose. If there is, in fact, an elegant way to do that horrible, ramshackled shipping bullshit where you throw the two names together, sure.
Right.
If elegant is the word you want to use with that, go ahead. I think you maxed out on that.
If I want to rise to the level of elegant during the course of my description, I'm going to go ahead I think I have hit the top of that bar with the Elicity marriage. Anyway, so...
I say judgmentally after that dick-snorting nonsense.
Right. So Elicity is proceeding to become an even more holy union. And there's a nice picture of them profile-wise. And, you know, Guggenheim said, like, it's not a dream sequence. It's not a... blah, blah. He named off a lot of things.
Yeah.
And then he you could almost hear the laughter. You could almost hear him judging us. When it came out in the synopses that, that's a trap. Yeah,
right.
They're faking it.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about that 3 weeks ago.
No, we talked about them being married. We didn't talk about the Cupid thing, I don't think.
Yeah, we did.
Dear God. Dear God, it all gets lost in the machinery.
It does. Because, like, so, I know I seem like I have it all together. Sorry, I couldn't even keep it straight through that.
I was really going to hang in there with you.
Right, but as you were telling the story, I'm like, oh yeah, how did I miss that? Oh wait, we talked about that.
I don't remember talking about it at all.
We did.
I do that all the time, though. There's at least, like, what, a minimum of half a dozen times a week where I bring something up to you and like, hey, have we talked about blah, blah, blah? And you'll politely listen to about the first sentence or two before you cut me off and be like, yeah, we talked about that like 4 days ago.
Right. Yeah.
I can't account for it. Neither do I trust myself. The only thing I've ever been able to actually give myself on that is that I'm usually consistent. I don't like bring it up and I suddenly have a different viewpoint. Usually when I brought the same thing up to you like 3 times in a week, like in 1 week, managed to broach the same subject as though it was a virgin subject. And the only thing I can give myself is, well, I had the same opinion of it every time.
Yeah, and it's getting worse, too, so I guess I have that to look forward to.
Right.
but, you know, the other day, I was hanging out with Bethany, and Spencer called me. Spencer is my brother-in-law, one of my best friends. We were friends long before he ever dated my sister, and or even knew her.
Right.
And, you know, he's got a kid. They've got a kid together and stuff now, obviously. And
yeah, as you describe this, I'm thinking, no, this is a CW show. Feels like a CW show.
So he calls me and I talk to him for a minute and I tell him like, look, man, I'm hanging out with Bethany and stuff. So I'll have to call you back. I'll call you back tomorrow. I'll try to remember to call you back tomorrow. 3 or 4 days pass. I'm talking to Bethany. I go, crap, I forgot totally to call Spencer back. And, she says, well, to be fair, I will try to remember to call Spencer back.
Right.
To call you back.
Right.
So apparently I'm accounting for my issues now with memory.
No, that sort of qualifier is at this point a survival skill.
And I see Spencer yesterday. And I'm like, hey, man, I'm sorry I didn't call you back. And he was like, oh, I forgot you were supposed to call me back.
Right.
This is why I'm friends with you, probably. Because we're one of the reasons or one of the reasons where we work so well as friends. None of my friends have memory. Matt Carroll of the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. Love the guy. Has no memory.
No, we're all just like, you're just goldfish swimming around in a bowl decorated with a bunch of little one-inch Batman figures.
We didn't have friends until we had smartphones to remember the numbers for us.
Oh, no, yeah, that's the sad part, is the way my memory works. I can remember the phone number of friends I had when I was 9 years old. I still remember their house phone numbers.
Yeah.
And in some cases, they still live there, their parents do, and I could dial those seven digits right now. But no.
I could totally call Matt's parents right now.
Right.
If they even still have a landline, that's the sad part.
There are people. There are people that still have landlines.
But like your number? I don't know your number.
I don't know yours either. I really don't.
I don't know my girlfriend's
number.
It's been
in my phone since we met. I don't have a clue what your number is. If I saw it, I'd probably recognize it, but that's it.
I think I was standing outside of your car and I noticed you had a book on Nietzsche and I went, oh, hey, and you got my number and likewise and
right.
Moved on.
I don't know how the hell I had that book.
Oh, we had like a 20-minute conversation about it, though.
I believe I know 20 minutes worth of Nietzsche discussion. I just don't remember why the hell I had that book for a minute.
That makes sense because we've never spoken of it again until about what was it, 3-4 weeks ago when we started talking about like Nietzsche and Superman.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Ubermensch, is that what they call him there?
Yeah.
I can't do the German pronunciation at all. Ubermensch.
Whatever. What else we got? We got anything else? Because I'm out. I've been out for quite a while.
Nah, I'm good. I'm quite good,
guys,
sir.
Thank you very much for plowing through all of this with us. I don't know.
A higher than normal percentage of us going on tantrums and side tangents, I guess.
Well, you know, I think we had plenty.
It was a smattering. It's 2 weeks of stuff. 2 weeks of
right.
2 weeks of tangents we had built up.
Right.
That was a spring waiting to be sprung. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Speaking of springs waiting to be sprung, we're going to try to have up our Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice review on Thursday night. Or at the very least, early Friday morning. I have every intention of just recording the damn thing and throwing it up without any, probably without any fanfare. But, yeah, man, we're going to be back then later at the end of the week with all the shows come back except for Legends of Tomorrow. So we're going to be talking about all of those.
Yeah, like of the six we're currently covering, it's five, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the DC Universe in general is not giving us, we had our respite as far as they're concerned. Because we were a consideration ultimately in their decision to drop episodes. I'm still deeply offended by the fact that they're dropping the Arrow and Flash season finales the week of my wedding. Damn it, guys.
Mm-hmm. They should have known, the bastards.
God, didn't I send you several emails?
But that's good, because you'll have like, you can actually go on your honeymoon knowing I don't have anything else to do right now.
Right? No, it's just that I'm gonna have to cram into like, I'm gonna be, on the one hand, I'm gonna be getting on appropriate wedding garb. On the other hand, I'm gonna be like getting mentally kind of thinking about like, well, I really mentally, I swear to God, on my wedding day, I'll still be. I'm gonna get in so much trouble if she listens to this. We're 2 hours in, and surely to God, her patience does not forbear such a thing. But
she's gonna see 2 hours ago, like,
This would be the one episode she listens to me the whole time. She listens to me all the time. She doesn't give a damn what I like. She can't bother. Like, inserting more listening to me into her life is probably way bad for us in general.
Right.
But, dude, I'm going to be sitting there, like, at the wedding, getting ready for it and blah, blah, and I swear there will still be idle thoughts about stuff we're going to be talking about on the podcast. There just will be.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can't stop that.
Absolutely. We're
talking about season finales here. Surely they'll affect me in such a way that I'll have a lot of stuff to digest and...
It's best that they get it out of the way before the honeymoon, because on the honeymoon, what do you do on a honeymoon? Have sex and eat? You find new...
I think that's largely it. You swim.
Yeah.
You swim, engage in coitus, and periodically you eat and drink things.
Right. You don't need DC shit on your mind when you're going to plow and chow.
Depends on what you're into, I suppose.
I don't think your fiance wants you to have DC on your mind.
I think for me, that's entirely accurate.
Yeah. Anyway, yes, most of that was an excuse for me to say Plow and Chow.
I do love Plow and Chow.
Plow and Chow was a good one, right?
It was a good one. It was a really good one.
Am I crazy?
No, that was good. That was good. I mean, it was bad for everyone involved, but it was good.
Absolutely.
Like, intellectually good.
My back is red and bruised from all the padding I'm giving myself.
I thought it was going to be for all the backlash.
No, that comes later.
Okay.
For now, the bruising comes from me patting myself on the back.
It'll just be, yeah, okay, I got you. Yeah, when I start seeing the busted blood vessels, I'll know where to look for palm prints and where to just look
probably,
for the butt of a lash.
Probably two or three times a week, my girlfriend goes, I'm so glad that you amuse yourself. It's either that or, buddy, oh, I went too far again, didn't I? Yeah. And you're still proud, aren't you? Yep.
Right.
Still
right.
Proud.
You regret anything that just happened? I really don't.
I'll be like, I'm sorry. She's like, no, you're not.
I mean, at that point, you're just like, I know, but I know to say that. And doesn't that matter a little bit? Yeah, it does. It does a little bit. I mean, it doesn't fix it, but it does matter a little bit.
Right. Oh. I don't know. I'm a deeply disturbed individual.
Welcome to the podcast.
We are DC on screen. Yeah. We are DC on screen. You can find every episode of our podcast on DCOnScreen.com. You can also find us on iTunes. You can find us on Stitcher. We're a proud member of the Giant Size Team Up Network. You can find them and us, GiantSizeTeamUp.com. Similar podcast that we've already mentioned, Marvel Cinematic Universe Podcast, MCUcast.com, and for the hell of it, my brother-in-law Spencer, he has a podcast, Pursuit of the Trivial, PursuitoftheTrivial.com.
That's him and Matt, isn't it?
WordPress.com. Yeah, it's with Matt Carroll of MCUcast. Yeah. It's a fun podcast. They haven't put up any new ones in a while. Guys, go give them some listens. Come on. It's a really fun podcast. It's not about comic books, but it's funny and fun. Go do that. And, of course, go check out the Suicide Squad cast that we mentioned earlier in the show.
For God's sake, at least give them credit for their name and go listen to one episode.
I know. They're merely a different flavor. And I don't know about you, but I'm a fatty fat fat. I like all different kinds of ice cream, y'all.
I'll put it this way. I've listened, and at least they deserve the Baskin-Robbins menu. At the very least, they deserve to be a numbered one of the 32. For God's sake, go give this a shot.
That's more than Jason's willing to say about us.
Yeah, the hell it isn't.
We're number 33.
Right. Choose not to quantify or qualify anything we do here.
They called us DC Nom Noms.
I enjoyed that more than I said.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks to all the guys and gals out there that talk to us and like our stuff on Twitter and Facebook and all the stuffs. Batman vs. Superman, guys, is coming. Until then, keep some DC on your screen.